In the Gospels, Jesus presented the good news about God's kingdom together with a profound challenge. People responded with enthusiasm and joy to Jesus' invitation to life in God's astonishing community of love. Immediately they left their nets and followed him, we are told of Simon and Andrew. Mark chapter 1, verse 18. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, reads another report, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Zacchaeus initially hid from Jesus in the leaves of a sycamore tree, but when Christ called him, he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. Luke chapter 19, verse 6. An act of hospitality that transformed his life. Crowds followed Jesus wherever he went. On one occasion, he had his disciples get a boat ready because of the crowd so that they would not crush him. Mark chapter 3, verse 9. Within days, he was back home in Capernaum, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. The blind, lame, diseased, and crippled pressed in on him seeking healing. Those plagued by evil or by the bitterness of their own conscience sought him out. He was constantly surrounded by sinners, outcasts, the dregs of society to whom he proclaimed the hope of a fresh start, new life in God's new community. Almost all Jesus' contemporaries instinctively understood that this kingdom was good news, and they welcomed it with alacrity. But the challenge quickly followed. Life in this new community required deep, far-reaching change of heart and mind. Death to a former way of life in order to discover a new road, a profound reorientation of a person's whole existence. This challenge lay at the heart of Jesus' message from the very beginning. The Gospel writers summed up his preaching in two terse lines that we have already encountered. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Renewal of the heart. The word translated repent, metanoia, here has less to do with confessing our wrongdoings and much more to do with an internal change of mind and heart. A simplistic, literal rendering of the word would be to change one's mind. But it really has much deeper and richer overtones than this brief definition might suggest. Jesus was not asking people simply to reconsider a few of their religious beliefs, to change a couple of lines in their personal creed, or adopt a slightly adjusted philosophy. We might capture the sense more closely by paraphrasing this word as change your entire outlook on life, the worldview that shapes everything you think and do. A person who becomes convinced of the value of whole wheat rather than white bread, or who finds in middle age that they have come to enjoy reading Shakespeare despite unpleasant memories of studying his works at school, has changed their mind, but they have not experienced metanoia. Instead, we should picture someone who has left their lucrative job in high finance to become a communist agitator, or who has abandoned their leadership of a far-right white supremacy movement to work as a liberal and progressive equal rights lawyer. These are changes of mind that would affect every aspect of that person's life, their relationships, their lifestyle, their allegiances, their worldview, their very sense of identity. To repent is to experience a change of outlook.